Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob here, and we are about to go live and talk about the Amazing Race 25 finale because there was a lot to discuss in this week's final episode. But first, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for the Amazing Race finale, Wrap Up, and those are our friends over at TrueBrain, because TrueBrain is a neuroscience company that has created the world's first drinks made from active nootropics designed to improve focus, memory, and mental clarity. It really would help you if you were a sweet scientist to drink one of these. And our listeners can get 40% off when you go to truebrain.com/Rob, because TrueBrain has created the first functional beverage made with active nootropics to improve your focus, your memory, and your mental clarity. And that can only help you when you are going around looking at a bunch of shipping crates trying to figure out where you've been around the world. TrueBrain was designed by neuroscientists, not sweet scientists, and they were led by Dr. Andrew Hill, PhD of cognitive neuroscientist and nootropics expert. Many people are already using TrueBrain to get things done, including writers, CEOs, athletes, programmers, designers, lawyers, craftsmen, day traders, artists, dentists, surfers, wrestlers, even podcast hosts. TrueBrain comes in a monthly supply to your door. You can get your first box for just $29.99. Normally it's $50 by going to this link, truebrain.com/Rob. Rob is a podcast listeners can get 40% off their first supply. Go to truebrain.com/Rob. That's true, T-R-U, brain.com. Again, that's truebrain.com/Rob to get 40% off your first supply. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who is ready to talk about the two scientists who got their just desserts tonight, Rob Cisternino. Oh my God, I can't believe what happened here tonight on the Amazing Race finale, Jessica Lace.
That is the sweet taste of victory, Rob.
Yes, the sweet scientists. Are, no, who had this one? Who had that right?
I had him as my sentimental pick, and I was saying all along they have no chance of winning.
Oh, boy. And they got the winner's edit tonight. If there ever was the Amazing Race winner's edit, boy, I thought they had no chance coming into tonight. And after about 2 minutes into the episode, I said, I think we have to start considering this possibility.
Yeah, well, as soon as they started showing everybody else being kind of bastards.
Even they showed the dentists talking about, oh, why don't we just kick Amy in the shins?
Yeah, and as soon as you threaten to aggravate someone else's injury, it's kind of going to make your win feel a little less satisfying.
Oh, my God. So race karma is working. Of course, we have the controversial non-elimination leg last week at the final four, which was unprecedented. We will talk about that for sure. We'll talk about Amy and Maya's place in Amazing Race history and much, much more along the way here on our Amazing Race finale wrap up. Of course, we are live here Friday night, December 19th. And we've got a lot to get through. Scott St. Pierre is following your tweets all night tonight. Hashtag RHAP. And also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Jess, how are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty excited. I can't lie.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
It's been a fun night.
It's a lot for us to talk about here on finale night. Very nice RHAP t-shirt, I might add, Jess.
Team Pink.
Yes, and I am probably a little like I'm so tired that I'm probably like a little extra crazy tonight. It's been a long 72 hours since really, it's only been 48 hours. It feels like 72 hours since the Survivor finale was on. Since then, I've done a lot of podcasts about then, did a lot of exit interviews about then. I've launched an audio book. I have gotten ready, and I am like right after this, then tomorrow I'm going to be recording all day the Happy Holidays 3 holiday special, Jess.
You know, that's why they call you the hardest working man in podcasting.
Again, that damning with faint praise, the hardest working in podcasting combined.
It's a labor of love.
It's a labor of love. And then Monday, we will get into our exit interviews with the final four teams, including the winners of The Amazing Race. That is coming on Monday. We'll have that podcast for you guys on Monday. And then just a little bit of a heads up on that one. I have a flight to catch. Nicole and I are traveling back home for the holidays. So I will be talking with three of the teams, and then Jess is going to be talking with a team that a lot of people have, that it's going to be, finally, Jess is going to be able to bury the story that she does not like Adam and Bethany when she has an exclusive interview with Adam and Bethany on the Amazing Race exit interview show.
I'm just going to point out that they haven't said they're not going to talk to us yet.
So, you think that they could pull a Whitney and Keith?
Yeah, maybe we should try to not say mean things about them or let them think that I hate them, because A, I don't hate them, and B, I really want to talk to them.
Okay.
I get to drive the exit interview, Rob. You know how exciting this is? Don't ruin it for me.
Yeah, you won't be in the...
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
Yeah, Jess is not going to be in the back seat for that one. All right,
we'll
so...
stay out of the sticky situation.
So that's going to be the exit interview podcast. That's going to be up for you guys on Monday. I will be talking with Brooke and Robbie, Amy and Maya, and Jim and Misty, and then I have to get on a plane, and then we'll have Jess talk with the Soul Surfers, the celebrities. They got recognized tonight.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. I mean, I can't imagine that they're hard to recognize. I recognized them.
Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, also one more thing. I mentioned in my Survivor podcast that I did with Josh Wigler, if you haven't listened to it, that so I ran into Amy and Maya on Wednesday night. And I told you, I said that they were, for the Sweet Scientists, I thought they were a little sour. They were a little sour. I thought they were a little salty and maybe a little bitter. And they said, hey, you are the guy that's been dogging us out. And I was like, boy, they must be like a little bitter about losing the Amazing Race, that they have the thing where like a persecution complex. But it turns out, I think they have the you're an idiot, we're the winners.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, I feel a little vindicated because I've been saying nice things about them.
Yeah, have I been saying not nice things about the Sweet Scientists? I think I've been very sweet about the scientists.
Yes, we are both big fans, but I feel like maybe the theme of CBS reality shows all season is me giving a little more credit to the contenders that you have written off from the very start, Rob. Because as I recall, the same thing happened with Survivor this week.
Yes, why? I didn't give Natalie any credit?
I tweeted that I thought Natalie was doing a great job, and you called it out on the podcast and said, boy, I guess that was before she saw what happened at the end of the tribal council. And guess what?
Jess, I think you're picking through bones right now. I don't think
maybe so, but to bring it back to the topic at hand.
Yes.
I've been
Go listen to my exit interview with Natalie. She said I had her back the whole time.
All right.
Yes. All right. So let's get into talking about this. Here's my first question for you, Jess. I want to know, give me one, the Sweet Scientists or the Beekman Boys. Do we have to change what we say now on The Amazing Race and say, hey, if the Sweet Scientists can win, anybody's got a shot?
You know, I think the Beekmans are still going to be the gold standard for that.
Still? Why?
Still.
Why the Beekmans over? Why the Beekmans over the Sweet Scientists?
Because towards the end, the Sweet Scientists started to come around. I feel a lot sooner than the Beekmans ever did.
Give me the stats on the Scientists. And do they have a first place finish?
They don't have a first place finish, but they have... They have more out in front than they have more top half finishes than the Beekmans, I believe.
Okay. What about?
Although someone's going to go and do the math for this. So, well, maybe we should. I should say I'm 90% sure that's true, but someone's going to do the math on this and then we'll know for sure.
What was the speed bump they had to do in this leg?
There was no speed bump because it wasn't a non-elimination leg. It was keep on racing.
See, I feel like there should have been a speed bump here. You're telling me that the last leg wasn't non-elimination. It was just, hey, this today we're going to have four teams. Like, so it wasn't a non-elimination leg?
Yeah, it was.
See, that's the thing I would probably have a problem with.
It's a super leg.
Yeah.
It's not a non-elimination leg.
So in the past, teams have not had to do a speed bump when they come in last on a super leg?
Right. Nobody has ever had to do a speed bump on a super leg.
Okay. I don't know. I'm curious to know how close it was between Jim and Misty and Amy and Maya and whether that would have been the difference. Also, I know Brooke and Robbie were very pissed about Amy and Maya, you know, being passed over. They should not be upset at all that Amy and Maya getting to go to this leg had nothing. They would have been last by a country mile if Amy and Maya got eliminated a month ago. The team that should be pissed tonight is Jim and Misty. The dentist should be livid. Jim's eyes should be popping out of his head right now.
Yeah, that vein on the side of his head should just be throbbing.
Yes, Jim should be very upset.
Yeah, he does not seem upset, though. He seemed like, on Facebook today, he seemed like he was just sad it was going to all be over.
Yeah, I think Jim is probably just like the greatest guy ever. He's a professional person. He has like a good job. Two, like he's really jacked. And three, he seems like he's a very nice guy. All the other teams say like, what a nice, other than wanting to kick Amy in the shins. He seems like he has all three things together.
Yeah. And you know, I have to say, this is a trend I have observed over many years of being a fan of The Amazing Race. The teams that turn out to be the nicest teams and the ones that are the most fun to interact with are almost always the ones that come off as the really super intense ones on the race.
Yeah, like he looks like he could be a douche, but he seems like he's actually a very nice guy.
Yeah, I think he would be a lot of fun to hang out with.
You would have a beer with him?
I would have a beer with him. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that drinks beer. Like, I would probably have a beer and he would have like a protein shake.
Yeah. So what are the Amazing Race teams doing tonight? What is the plans for those people that are in the know?
Well, as you can see, I'm at home and sad by myself, drinking alone, and everybody else is in
those
LA.
Those two things
at
go hand in
party.
Hand. Yeah.
It's true. Everyone else is in LA. There's a big finale party happening. I'm sure we are represented there somehow. And apparently it's a really good time. And most of the teams are there. A lot of teams from previous seasons are there. I think they're probably having a fantastic time right now.
Wow. So I can't believe it. Really. After a season where we said we felt like all along there were three dominant teams between the cyclists, between Adam and Bethany, between the dentists. And then we felt like Brooke and Robbie were coming on strong. Really, I feel like we never really considered Amy and Maya to be the winners, Jess. Say what you want. No. We never had them higher than what? Fourth in our power rankings?
It's true. And we would say that we liked them very much and we were happy they were still in it and we liked their enthusiasm. But no, we never did say that they had a shot at winning.
I mean, what was their best moment before tonight?
Their best moment before tonight was probably, I'm just remembering all of these times when Maya did like a victory lap and just about fell over.
Yeah.
And I think most of those times have just been them thinking they were last and turning out not to be last.
I have to say, and that being said, I know it sounds like we're complaining about them a lot. And I would say that had I not met them the other night, I feel like I would probably be complaining about them. But I actually, I talked to Amy for a while. I didn't talk to Maya for too long.
It's probably hard to pin Maya down.
Yeah. She was a little all over the place. But after they both got in my face pretty good, then I thought Amy was actually very funny to talk to and very sarcastic.
Yeah.
And I like that.
She seems like she's kind of deadpan.
Yeah. Even though,
for some reason, like,
yeah, my
she's
wife
takes a lot of abuse, but what did your wife think?
My wife says that she hates sarcasm. Sarcasm, she told me recently, is her least favorite thing in a person.
Why'd she marry you?
Well, I think that probably she probably didn't hate it as much before that.
No, maybe you're the reason she hates it.
That sounds about right. That being said, I do like that in a person. I thought that Amy was very fun to talk to.
Yeah, those are the kinds of people I like, too. And I think sometimes that doesn't translate to television very well.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this final leg of the race. And I thought that overall it was somewhat uneventful, the final leg of the Amazing Race, up until that last challenge, which I felt like was brutal, like brutal in a good way. Jess, what was your take overall on the final leg?
I thought it was a lot of things requiring minimal to no skill, and then something that was really mentally taxing, which was something we haven't seen a whole lot of up to this point.
Yeah, I felt like other than it seemed like the hardest part of this final leg was just getting around L.A.
Yeah, yeah, it seemed like a lot of people on Twitter were making the comparison to the Californians.
Yes,
Sure were talking about the 405 a lot.
I mean, but, you know, and since we're talking about the Beekmans, like, I do feel, you know, definitely get why it is such a big advantage if you go to a city that you know well, because, like I felt like I could have definitely gotten them to where they needed to go, at least for the first part, at least, like, you know, to know which direction downtown is where you go to the airport. And all the teams seemingly were going in the wrong direction. I don't know why Amy and Maya seemed to they didn't have a problem. Adam and Bethany there, you'd feel like they've spent some time here in L.A. But Brooke and Robbie, I mean, the wrestlers have never been to Los Angeles before.
Yeah, that shocks me because I thought there was a lot of wrestling in Los Angeles.
You would think so, but maybe they're just being driven around and just totally not even paying attention. But going towards Santa Monica is the complete opposite direction from where you want to be going.
Yeah, but you know, one of the things, and I know we've had this conversation before, I think it is in the JL rules that if you are going on the Amazing Race, one of the things you should study is how to get to LAX from various important points in LA, because on one end of the race or another, you're probably going to have to do it. Like, at least learn how to get to the 405 from wherever you're starting.
That's a good point. Did they start? And they started in New York in this line.
Yeah, they did start in New York.
Jess, the teams, it seemed like tonight, had iPhones for this final leg. Are those their phones and they get them back now that they're in America? Could you explain that?
No, they got to belong to the cab drivers. Nobody is allowed to use their own phone. And I almost think they're going to eventually make it a rule that you can't use other people's either.
Yeah, so cab drivers are just like, they're like, hey, can I use your phone? And then cab drivers are like, here, take my phone.
In 2014, who doesn't have a smartphone, Rob?
Yeah, but if I'm a cab driver, I'm not going to give my phone to like some randos in the back of the cab.
Well, what's going to happen? They're on camera. It's not like they're going to be able to just like open the door and tuck and roll out of the back. Their sound guy and cameraman are right there and everything's being recorded.
I'm sure stranger things have happened.
It is L.A.
Yeah. So I'm surprised that you're just allowed to just go, you know, grab the guy's phone.
No, that doesn't surprise me because I've seen it happen a lot of times. And I think if the cab driver has seen the Amazing Race at all, they know this is kind of par for the course.
Yeah. All right. Let's just run through the tasks, and I want to spend some time talking about that final task. So I did feel like we sort of yada yada the flight. I just felt like, you know, we were all of a sudden it was just like a snap of the fingers. We were just in Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, when do interesting things ever happen when all three teams are on the same flight?
I don't know. It was four teams on the same flight.
Yeah, occasionally there's a point where like one of them gets an upgrade and winds up at the front of the plane, but that didn't happen this time. They all seem to be back in coach, chilling out. All four teams, same flight, get out, same customs line. It wasn't really, it didn't have much to do with what happened later.
When they were at the airport, am I crazy? Was Brooke on a laptop?
She may have borrowed one from somebody. Which also happens a lot, especially if people are fans of the show and they see people from The Amazing Race. I know that this has happened where they'll be like, oh my God, you're on The Amazing Race. That's so cool. Take my laptop, use it to find out where you're going to go.
Wow.
That happens a lot. And they don't show that on camera, of course, because it just encourages people to do that.
So Brooke and Robbie were very vocal about their displeasure about Amy and Maya. And I think that's probably going to be the top story, I think, in the exit interviews are what do Brooke and Robbie have to say about Amy and Maya winning the Amazing Race? I think that's,
so you're saying there's a giant screaming headline that says Brooke complains about something?
Yes. And that is going to be that's my favorite in the exit interviews. I do like it.
I'm a little jealous that you get to do that. That's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. I don't imagine you're going to have too many complaints from Adam and Bethany.
No, Adam and Bethany are going to be nothing but gracious and chill and lovely. And that is a good indoctrination for a rookie exit interviewer, but it's probably not going to be scintillating podcast listening. Yeah. And also, I'm pretty sure Adam and Bethany have no idea who we are.
Okay, well, you know, you never know. And anyway, so Brooke was just like so pissed off. And then she's like telling them to their face, like, you know, I'm just pissed off that you're here. Like, you'd be too. Like, don't judge me because of this. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. They should have been like, yeah, we're pissed off that you're here and talking to us about it.
Yeah. And, you know, Brooke and Robbie, they know themselves well because they're just like, yeah, but it's frustrating because if there's a challenge that involves intelligence, like, who do you think is going to get eliminated? Right?
That is a fair point.
Yeah.
And they had no shot at winning this race, but given that task.
Even Jim and Misty, they called them low-hanging fruit.
That's kind of mean.
Yeah.
That's meaner than anything we have said.
Yeah, Amy and Maya should be pissed off at the wrestlers, not Rob as a podcast.
I'm shocked that they think we're mean, given the things that were said to and about them this episode.
That's right. And so all the teams have to go to the film permit office downtown. Really nothing to this other than finding where the film permit office is.
Yeah, that's really not interesting television. Find a building and go to an office and have a lady stamp a form. It's like a challenge themed around the movie Brazil.
Yeah, and the parking I think would have been the hardest part of that. And it seemed like they were just like parking their cars like on the side of the street.
Yeah, I would just drive up onto the lawn of the city hall myself.
Yes. What happens if your car gets towed? You don't care?
I think you have to find another one.
You have to just find another one? Is it sort of like Grand Theft Auto where you could just trash the car they give you and then just get into the next one?
I would really love to see the penalty assessed on a team that steals someone's car.
Yeah. We did see a couple of seasons ago where they got in like an accident and had to go in like Africa, right?
Yeah. And they have in the past, and it hasn't been quite as often in the recent seasons, but in the previous seasons, it would be like, if you damage your car, if your car breaks down through no fault of your own, you get a new one, but you have to wait for it.
Yeah. All right, so the teams had to drive around. There was definitely the Californians where the sequence where Brooke and Robbie had to find out to go. Why don't you go ahead and get on the 405 and take that to the 10 and take it to the 110 and get out of here, Brooke and Robbie.
I've been to L.A. all of twice, and the only road I know in L.A. is the 405.
Yeah,
I mean, and I think it might just be because I've seen that sketch.
Depends where you're going. So we saw the teams had to take the film permit to go to San Pedro to go do the stunt challenge. Jess, what was your take on this? Did you like that challenge, the movie stunt double?
There was absolutely no skill involved with this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even seem like it would be that scary. It'd be like, yeah, you just have to jump onto a giant mattress.
To me, it was like shades of David Copperfield, this challenge. It was like something where you couldn't make up a lot of time. You couldn't really screw it up. It was just like, oh, let's just do this because it looks cool.
Yeah, you might as well just sit them on a bench with an hourglass.
Well, that would not look as cool.
No, it wouldn't look as cool.
Okay. So the teams ended up, getting through that pretty much uneventful. Let's talk about Brooke and Robbie when they start really starting to get very frustrated with each other. Brooke accuses Robbie of not caring about The Amazing Race and saying, you know, we should just go to McDonald's.
And Robbie's like, awesome. I get to have food.
Yeah. What's your take on this?
I don't know. I don't think Robbie doesn't care, but I think Robbie may have recognized the futility of the situation at this point.
Yes. So do you think that they were just maybe he didn't care as much about The Amazing Race? I mean, he does argue. He's like, oh, I don't care about $1 million. Sure. Whatever.
Yeah, I think he was also ready to not be around Brooke all the time. They seemed like they were getting on each other's nerves. And I think the prize that was looming a little bit larger than $1 million in Robbie's mind at this point was A, getting food, and B, not having to be fewer than 20 feet from his partner at all times like he has been for an entire month.
Now, are we sure Brooke and Robbie are still together?
We're not sure. I don't even know if they were together to begin with.
Yes. Paul Borges sent me a tweet that Brooke tweeted tonight. And the tweet that she tweeted was, you try dealing a man that isn't a man when he needs to be. It's exhausting.
Okay.
So I don't even know what that means. But it seems it seems damning.
Yeah, it seems like she might be complaining about something, but that's just conjecture.
And it seems out of character, too.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
her Twitter was hacked by the same people that hacked Sony.
Maybe she was having a sleepover.
Maybe she's having a sleepover. And maybe we're next. Maybe we're next. And you need to get your glasses clean.
I got to go clean my glasses, man.
All right. So Amy and Maya, they got a little bit of a slowed down because Maya forgot to take off the costume.
Yeah, that could have been a game ending mistake. And that would have been really. That was about the most exciting thing that happened all episode. I got to be honest.
All right. The next part of the final leg was this search and rescue mission in the water. Seems like this was thrown in there to for Adam and Bethany in particular.
You know, you got to take off the tinfoil hat, Rob. I don't think anybody, like, they plan this out so far in advance, especially when they have to work with a government agency.
Yeah.
There is no way they could have known that Adam and Bethany would be there to swim out to get the dummy.
Yeah. This one, I feel like, didn't do anything for me, this task of going out and rescuing the dummy. I didn't find it to be visually that interesting.
Yeah, no, it looks like a rejected Survivor challenge. And there weren't even any puzzle pieces.
One of the things I'd like to do is have you rate the challenges as they come up for good Amazing Race challenges or not. Maybe as we go through next season.
Yeah, I give that challenge 0 earbuds.
Oh, no. 0 earbuds for that challenge.
I'm going to give this show 0 earbuds.
Okay. But we need your own. We need the Jessica Lease rating system. We don't need to do earbuds. All right. So we end up going to what is this? Con Global Industries?
Yeah, I don't know. That sounded kind of
ominous, right?
Kind of sketchy. That sounds like it's a front for something.
sounds like the corporation that is like the bad guy, like in some sort of like RoboCop movie.
It's going to be led by President Business.
President Business. So I thought this was a great challenge. I really, like, I was out on all of these challenges, then I thought this one was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that it wasn't interesting to watch. I think challenge-wise, it was a good thing to throw at them. But it was like, you're going to run around and look for a number and write down the number at the end of it. That's not great television.
It wasn't great television, but I felt like it was at least, I was like, wow, this is hard.
Yeah, it was very hard. And it was really mentally taxing at the end of what had to have been a really hard month for all of them.
You would think so. We'll talk more about that. This is the point in the episode where Brooke and Robbie, Phil finds them. And I like this, I think, more than Phil just standing there. Phil, like, just popping up is like the Grim Reaper, just to, like, it's time. Come with me. Your race is over.
Yeah. Oh, it has been confirmed in the chat room that Brooke and Robbie are no more.
Oh!
Yeah, that's rough. First, you get basically guidoed out of the competition by Phil, and then you break up.
Now, why do you say he got guidoed out of the competition?
Back in season one, this was how my all-time favorite team, Team Guido, got eliminated. They were so far behind the top two teams, they didn't even get to go to the finish line. They showed up at one of the clue boxes, and they opened their clue, and it said, "Robin Brennan already won the race, suckers."
Wow. Did it really say that?
It didn't really. It said Robin Brennan have won the race. The race is over. And I think they were still in Alaska. I don't know what happened to them after that. Did they have to go home on their own, or did someone like load them into a van? Who knows?
Oh, my God. I thought Phil was kind of mean to Brooke and Robbie, especially to Robbie when he showed up, where Robbie was like, you know, Phil was like, "All right, your call time. Well, you guys were late." And Robbie's like, "Man, I mean, that looks like that's so much fun. I really wish, I could have done that stunt and jumped out of the building." And Phil's like, "Well, you should have got here on time." Like, that was really,
Phil's,
I felt out of character.
Phil's keeping a lot bottled up.
Like, that was really passive aggressive on the part of Phil, right?
Yeah, that was almost Probstian. Like, that level of contempt is like, something we don't see from Phil.
Sorry, you should have been here. Everybody else figured out a way to get here on time except you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, would it have killed them to let Robbie jump out of the building?
I think maybe it would have. Maybe they were out of money at that point. They only budgeted for three people to jump out the window.
I think what would have been the best would have been if Phil would have run, jumped out of the building, broke the glass, and then got up from the mat and said, "You're eliminated."
Right in front of their faces. And Robbie would have been like, "But I wanted to do that." They'd be like, "Tough, get out of here."
Yeah, maybe they only had so many like candy panes of glass.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
That would have been worth buying an extra one just to have Phil do it in their faces.
Okay, so it ends up with now it's Amy versus Bethany versus Misty. And the prophecy of if there is a mental task, then the scientists are going to have the edge here. And kudos to Amy, who really, I mean, it's been Maya who's done a bulk of the tasks. We saw Amy have to lug around all of the coconut stuff in the Philippines, and she gutted her way through that. But that being said, Maya has done a lot of the heavy lifting this season.
Yeah, I honestly really loved that Amy ended up being the MVP, because I think she's gotten kind of a negative edit this season. And part of it is just because when you have that kind of personality, it doesn't translate well to television, like we've said. And part of it, she's running on an injury. Maya's had to pick up some of her slack. And she comes off as being a little bit negative just because her teammate is Maya, who would make anybody look negative.
That's what I told her. I said that you shouldn't, like, why are you running the race with her? She's like the most positive person in the world. And you seem like you're like super negative, which she may or may not be. So I feel like that was a mistake to go like that's not a great mirror to hold up next to you to be with the most positive person in the world.
Yeah, it was Rainbow Dash and Fluttershy running as a team. And, and that kind of energy makes anybody seem.
Yeah. And one of the other things that Maya had said, that Amy had said to me when I was talking to her on Wednesday night, that I think that she was saying that I don't know if it was a broken pelvis or a bruised pelvis, but she had some sort of like lower body injuries that really were holding her back during the race.
Well, you could tell that the way she was running, that something was wrong with her hip.
Yeah. So she definitely was having some issues along the way in the lower body. You know, I'm not a doctor, okay?
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing I want you to confirm or deny. I've heard that Amy actually swears like a sailor. Is that true?
I think so. I mean, I don't have a transcript of my conversation, but I definitely do think that there was some obscenities said in my direction.
Yeah, that's my theory on why we didn't see a lot of her this season. They probably just didn't want to have to spend all the time beeping her.
Yeah, I think so. I did tell her that I thought that the episode where they got the Chinese suction cups or whatever it was, I thought that was the best episode of the season.
Yeah, they definitely that was the most entertaining.
Yes. She did mention that she gave them a lot of topless nudity on the episode also. It'd probably help.
Yeah, that's true. Lots of pixelation there.
So anyway, Amy is the first one to get the numbers on the shipping container. They lost Bethany on this one. Bethany, and we love Bethany, but she was a little overmatched on this one.
Yeah, math is not really Bethany's strongest suit.
That was not her strong suit. So Misty got it eventually also, and it looked like it was going to be close, and they kind of threw us a misdirect on that, making it seem like it was going to be close to the mat. Jess, were you deked out here by the edit?
Yeah, I was. I was pretty tense because they showed Jim like giving directions to the driver. He's like, okay, you got to turn left up here. The camera veers left and you can see the lighthouse right there. And I'm not proud of this, but as soon as they showed the final mat and they showed Amy and Maya coming up, I screamed. I was like, oh my God. And my husband came in. He's like, are you okay? Did you hurt yourself? I'm like, no, I'm fine.
Good. Oh my God. Like you were pumped up for Amy and Maya.
I was so pumped up. I was really like, that was the outcome. I didn't even really know until that moment that was the outcome I wanted, but then it happened and I was overjoyed.
All right. So talk this through with me. So why were you so excited it was Amy and Maya?
Because everybody loves to root for an underdog.
Because they were underdogs, and was it because that they were a female-female team?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And they were a nerdy female-female team. They are fans of the show. Mm-hmm. They are fans of our show. They did their homework.
Well, Jess, let's not get carried away. I don't know if we can confirm that they're fans of the show. They have at least looked at it.
They are fans of me. I don't know that they are fans of you.
Wait, how did you get that they're fans of you?
I've spoken to them on Facebook. They're very nice people.
Oh, now it all comes out.
Yeah, and they've confirmed that they're fans of the show, or at least of me, maybe not of you.
Yeah. No, I mean that they seem like they're very nice people. I mean, easy to root for. I feel like that Jim and Misty would have been a very satisfying conclusion to the season, though.
I honestly think Adam and Bethany would have as well.
Yeah, I think...
You can't say a bad thing about them.
You can't say a bad thing. I really thought all night going into this, especially in the previously on, when they started with, and all season long, Adam and Bethany, everybody's been amazed by them. They're such great people, which they are. But I thought they were really hitting us over the head with it, and it was going to be like a Dave and Connor redux that Adam and Bethany were going to win.
Yeah, I was getting that sense, too. I never had the sense that Jim and Misty would have won. I would have enjoyed it if they had. But even since from early in the season, when they started getting really intense, I thought nobody who's that intense ever ends up winning.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So Amy and Maya, congratulations. Congratulations to Amy and Maya. And give me their place in Amazing Race history among the female winners.
Honestly, I would rank them. Well, I think you always have to handicap a winner that has raced before.
Okay.
So I would rank Amy and Maya maybe slightly above Jen and Keisha, but Nat and Kat are my favorite female winners.
Okay. Jess, do you want to touch on Amazing Race 26 before we get to taking questions?
I don't think you want to get me started on Amazing Race 26 because I'm pretty sure that we're going to have to find a new reality show for me to cover after next season because this show is getting freaking canceled.
Okay, so you're out on Amazing Race 26.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to cover it for you because, you know, my esteem for Rob as a podcast and its many wonderful listeners trumps just about anything terrible that the show could throw at us. But it's such a bad concept and it's like it's literally the worst thing I could think of. And I can't
worse than bringing Whitney and Keith back.
I'm surprised they didn't bring Whitney and Keith back, to be honest. But Whitney and Keith would be an improvement on this.
So just in case anybody missed the preview, set up what the premise is. So it's all that the race teams are, some of them have like, they work like with their hands. Some of them work in like in offices and some of them don't work at all.
I think nobody wears a collar on the Amazing Race, Rob.
Yes.
It's all no collar.
Yes. They all have a, instead of a collar, they all have a ball and chain. Is that what it is?
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So set up the premise for Amazing Race 26.
Okay. Everybody on Amazing Race 26 is a dating couple.
Okay. Dating couples.
Yeah. And half of the dating couples have never met before. And they are allowing the show to set them up on a blind date.
Okay. Jess, wouldn't a team on a blind date have a distinct disadvantage over teams that are already dating?
I have always said that teams that are quote unquote dating rather than actually dating do very badly on the show because they just don't, some of them think they just don't know each other. Like we've seen, it's like having five teams of Mark and Mallory is what's going to happen here.
Well, that did provide for some interesting television.
I would not be surprised to see the blind date teams go out like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, well, I mean, that might be interesting. Jess, is there a... I mean, I don't know if we're talking... I guess we're not talking casting spoilers, right? Are there any notable celebrities without getting too far into it?
Yeah, there's one.
Okay, all right,
we'll
talk
about that. Yeah, people our age are going to be excited about.
Okay.
One.
There's one person that could have the right stuff this season.
That's what I heard. He may well be hanging tough all the way to the end.
All right. So more of that to come. I think it's, I mean, again, I know that the purists are going to hate it. With these things, I at least say, let's give it a shot. Let's see what happens.
I mean, I get paid to watch it, so I'm going to watch it, but so it turns out you can, in fact, pay me to watch it.
Okay.
But I'm not necessarily going to be excited about this concept. And it could, you know, it could grow on me. I could like it. They could be amazing people and I could pick a team that I love and that team could go all the way and I could be very happy and excited about it. So I'm not ruling that out, but I'm not particularly optimistic.
Okay. If this works, what do we do next?
If this works, this is not going to work.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that more as we get to Amazing Race 26. Of course, that's going to be all in one night. I believe it is. We need a good name for this coming up of the mega Wednesday I believe it's February 25th, the 90-minute premiere of Survivor and the 90-minute premiere of the Amazing Race all in one night.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I'm not you that night.
Yeah. Wacky Wednesday. We need something. Anyway, so we will work on that as we go along. All right. Let's get into taking your questions. I'm sure we're going to have very many people wanting to talk about this finale here in our questions. And let's get it kicked off here. Samantha Mann is going to start off the first question asking, this is the first time in Amazing Race history that they are driving themselves on the final leg. Is that true? Could that be right?
Can't be. That can't be right.
Yes. Instead of in a taxi, is that possible that they're had to drive the product-placement Ford car?
I'm pretty sure we've seen the product-placement Ford car in a final leg before.
Okay. All right. Here's from Daryl Alber wants to know, how far behind do you think the wrestlers were when they missed the call time?
I would guess they were probably 45 minutes to an hour behind.
45 minutes to an hour behind. Okay.
I don't think they were, like, the sun was still up, you know?
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't nighttime. That's a good point. All right. Right. Dominic Pell wants to say, best final challenge ever. Jess, where were the animals?
Yeah, it can't be the best final challenge ever by definition because there were no animals.
There were no animals. Yeah. So, no, it was not the best final challenge.
Not by a long shot. I really, honestly, I thought that the hello, goodbye memory challenge was probably the best memory challenge they've ever done.
Yeah. Okay. So, sorry, Dominic. JJ Rules 07, who was the better underdog winner, the Beekman boys or the Sweet Scientists? Oh, well, now we're going to have you pick your loyalties, Jess.
God, this is like, this is like asking me to choose a favorite child.
This is a real Rafe's choice for you now. Who is the best underdog winner?
I was more excited about the Sweet Scientists. And as much as I love Brent and Josh, to the point where I actually like gone to their store in Manhattan multiple times this holiday season. And
multiple
I get excited
times
when I see
this holiday season. What do you, you can't get everything on one trip?
No, I keep going back. They have this hand cream that's made out of goat milk and shea butter. It's amazing. I keep running out. But I honestly, like, I love Brent and Josh, but Amy and Maya, I was legitimately like super excited, and I really like in the moment I was really wanting them to win. Where Brent and Josh, I was happy with it. I wasn't like jumping up and down.
Okay. All right. So, do we give more credit to the Beekman boys that they won on a season with the Twinnies, and then we've seen that Twinnies are good at reality TV, or at least some of them are?
Does this mean that the Beekman boys would be good at Survivor?
I don't know. We have to like go back and say like, well, they beat some really good teams. Teams that really knew what they were doing.
It's true.
Okay. Mark Solera wants to know, if we ever have Amazing Race All-Stars again, who from this cast makes the cut? Well, we talked about this a little bit last week. Just yeah. do your beloved Sweet Scientists make the cut now that they're winners?
There's only ever been one winner team cast on an Amazing Race All-Star season, and I don't see it happening again.
Jim and Misty. Second place finishers.
Jim and Misty will come back.
Yeah.
And you and I are divided on Adam and Bethany. I could make a case against it. You could make a case for it. It could happen, I think, but I think there are other teams from this season that's more likely.
Yeah. I just think that people were watching the show to root for Adam and Bethany.
That's true. And they would come back.
Yeah. I think they were good. So we'll see. This is from DJMCC93. Shouldn't the final leg be way more challenging? I mean, how hard is it to drive to City Hall, jump out a window onto a pillow, and swim a fake body back to a boat? I agree on all three counts, but then the last part of this final leg was extremely difficult.
Yeah, the only time I've seen a final task that was this difficult, I think the final task in season 12 was about this hard. And that was one of these like multi-layer LSAT logic puzzles. They had all this stuff from all the legs and you had to put it up in order. And there had to be a certain number of one type of object and a certain number of another type of object. And it was complicated. It was hard to watch.
Yeah.
This at least like this was kind of straightforward. It was just really hard.
Also, much better than the season 24 final leg, where we had to go to like the middle of the desert, and then you had to like dig for a box, and then you had to go hang out with David Copperfield, and then you had to go to the neon graveyard, but you weren't allowed to run in there, and you had to screw in light bulbs, and then you had to like fall out of a plane.
Yeah, that was idiotic.
Yeah, that's a pretty good recall for me on the final leg of Amazing Race 24, right?
That was, I don't want to talk about Amazing Race 24.
Yeah. All right. ID Institute says, do you two agree? One of the best seasons ever, perhaps top three or five. Jess, you've been on the record.
Yeah, this is a top five season. Absolutely.
Yes. And the winner only sweetens it for you.
Yes, indeed. It sweetens it like candy and ice cream.
Tell me right now, did Amy and Maya promise you free candy and or ice cream to become the leader of the Amy and Maya movement?
No, but now that you say that, I kind of regret not asking for that.
You had demands and they were not met.
I should have had a list of demands and yeah, man, that's oh, man, now I'm sad that I don't have any ice cream.
Yes, they have a candy lobby. Okay, so I think that Scott's comments are frozen up on us, but he is sending them to me via chat now. He wants to know, what would you have changed from the final leg of The Amazing Race?
I would definitely have put, I would have put some more skill in those first two components. Like they tried to do this earlier in the season where we had that ropes course in Morocco, and you had to stop in the middle of the ropes course and solve a puzzle, and that kind of enabled the order to get mixed up a little bit. Whereas this, there was no chance. If you got there first, you finished first. And I think we needed more of that. Like, we needed to have some, like, that stuntman thing, there could have been a component where you had to do something that was a little skill-based. And I think that would have gone a long way toward improving the season.
Okay, we got another question. Is this a question from you, Jess? Would it have been better if tonight's Amazing Race finale had been 2 hours?
I didn't.
Maybe
ask
it's
this
to
question.
You. It's a question. It was probably a question to
someone
you.
Someone probably
on Twitter.
Tweeted
yes.
it to me. And I honestly don't think there was enough action to fill 2 hours.
Yeah.
There was barely enough action to fill one.
Were you okay with where they did the elimination in the episode?
Yeah, I was okay with it. I think it was a little mean, but I think that was a good place to put it. And it also, structurally speaking, it was a little bit uncomfortable because you saw very clearly that there were only three boats, so you knew that elimination was coming.
Okay. Mike Bloom has a question, wants to know about, with Amy and Maya being saved by the non-elimination leg, does that change anything for you?
I didn't love the concept. I mean, I'm happy with the outcome, but I don't love this, like, hey, surprise, it's not an elimination, but it's not a non-elimination. It felt a little hinky. I know it was not, but I'm not super happy with it. I hope they don't do it again.
I mean, should Jim and Misty legitimately be pissed?
Jim and Misty would have a legitimate complaint. Brooke and Robbie don't, but Jim and Misty might.
Like, he should be, like, they should be, like really angry, right?
Yeah, well, I think Jim and Misty are also pretty good sports. I think they're okay with it.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, they were just like, well, it was fun to get to go on this adventure. We had a great time. We got to compete against great people, and we ran really hard, and our lives are fine.
Our lives are fine. We don't need, our lives are fine outside of this. Nick2S wants to know, how odd did the midway elimination timing feel for you? Did they eliminate them sooner because they were so far behind? Was that the original plan all along?
That was the original plan all along because, again, you could see three boats. They didn't have four boats, so that was going to be where they were getting eliminated.
Oh, man. Okay. Jess, as far as this season goes, in the rear view mirror, what will you miss most about this season?
Oh, what will I miss the most? I will miss Jim and Misty's teeth the most.
Yeah, Phil had to get one more shot in with Jim and Misty about their teeth, right?
Yeah, they had to get one more dig in there. I will miss Phil's utter speechlessness at Jim and Misty just in general.
Yeah, he was very impressed with the teeth the whole way through.
Yeah, I've never seen Phil that impressed. And I could be okay if Phil continues to be like this, like weirdly personal with all of the teams next season. That will go a long way toward making the season palatable.
Jess, what do you think had the better fall, Survivor or The Amazing Race?
I got to give it to Survivor, grudgingly.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed watching both of them, but Survivor's finale really had a fantastic effect. Like, it started strong and it finished strong, and I honestly don't believe that Amazing Race was a little anticlimactic up until the very, very end.
Yeah, but we had a good couple of months here on the reality TV talk.
Yeah, we did. I had a lot of fun podcasting. I always have fun podcasting, even when the show is terrible. But at least they gave us a lot of material to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I was going to rank the seasons of shows that we did this year, I think I would have to say Survivor Kagiyan, I think, was probably one. Mm-hmm. Then I feel like it's close for me between Amazing Race 25 and Survivor San Juan del Sur. I feel like that's close for me between 2-3. Then I think I would say Big Brother 15 is 4, and then Amazing Race 24 is bringing up the rear.
The very large gap, and then Amazing Race 24.
Yeah. There might be, the gap might be between Amazing Race and Survivor from the fall, and then Big Brother, and then a gap, and then Amazing Race 24. I pulled a clip.
That is true.
I pulled a clip from tonight's episode. This made me giggle when Misty said this.
I don't know. I had my knickers in a twist from the beginning.
Had my knickers in a twist from the beginning. Jess, at any point this season, did you have your knickers in a twist?
Probably not quite as badly as Jim and Misty did.
Yes. If you wear tighty whities, I hear that that avoids getting your knickers in a twist.
I thought it made it worse, but, you know, I don't have a hit song about it, so yeah. I wouldn't really.
I think that's it makes a wedgie worse, but I think that your knickers won't get twisted.
Okay.
I don't know. I have my knickers in a twist from the beginning.
Do you think that Jim and Misty have their knickers in a twist about the losing the race to the team that should have been eliminated last week?
I wouldn't blame them if they did, but I think they are way too classy for that.
All right. Here's a question from Jordan Freemeyer on Twitter. Wants to know, anybody else think that we should have Roger Lodge host the next Amazing Race season?
I had that exact thought. Yes.
That would be good, right?
Yeah, that'd be all right. And, you know, they have been practicing this past season with all those little animated graphics they've been putting up on the screen. I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot of those next season.
Thought bubbles. Yeah. I used to watch a lot of Blind Date.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. This is one from Alex G. Says, did Robbie really want to do the challenge or did he just want to eat the candy glass?
I think he wanted to lick the window.
Yeah. He's a window licker?
I think he is.
Yeah. This is a question or a statement from Rachel Wagner, who's upset, Jess. Tell me if this is a fair criticism. Boo. Should have been a speed bump, unfair, upset, done.
It was not a non-elimination leg. They do not have speed bumps.
Yeah. So should fans be upset, Jess?
I don't think it was a great game design, but I don't think you have any reason to be upset because Amy and Maya are awesome and I'm excited that they've won.
Zachary Zarnett Klein wants to know, why don't they ever do an Amazing Race reunion? Why is that, Jess?
They didn't have, well, actually, do you want the boring historical version? Because I know
is
exactly
it a
why
short
they
version.
One.
If it's,
yeah, it's very short.
Okay. Back I can deal with short and boring.
When this show first came out, the network didn't have any faith in it and they didn't want to pony up the money to rent out a theater and have a reunion show. And so that's how Tarkon happened, actually. The fans had their own party, and the racers just kind of showed up, and that was how Tarkon was born. And then, for a long time, the show was on the cancellation bubble, and it didn't really make sense. And by the time it picked up enough steam, it was kind of a tradition that they didn't have a reunion, and they didn't know what that reunion would be like, so it just never happened.
Yeah.
And also, if anybody has ever seen the Amazing Race Canada reunion show, you understand that there's not much that you can really do with it. It's not that interesting. You don't need it.
Okay. I get it. I think that it would probably be a little anticlimactic because there tends to not be a lot of hard feelings like there are on Survivor. Like Survivor's all about like hard feelings.
Yeah. And I think once in a blue moon, you get teams that are really angry at each other. And that takes up like 5 minutes of airtime. That was actually Amazing Race Canada season 1. The only interesting thing that happened was there was one team that was really bitter at another team, and that took up 5 minutes of interesting time, and then the rest of it was really boring.
Jess, I want to do an exercise with you, okay? One team from the Amazing Race this season and put them on Survivor Blood versus Water, and then take one team from Survivor Blood versus Water this season and put them on the Amazing Race and improve both shows.
Jim and Misty go on Blood versus Water.
Okay.
And, well, I have a mean answer and I have an interesting answer for this.
Okay. Give me.
My mean answer is I want Dale and Kelly to go on, and then Dale will stop being so resentful at people that are on the Amazing Race.
He's not resentful. Dale is a big Amazing Race fan.
I know he's a big Amazing Race fan, but he was resentful that Amazing Racers went on his show, and maybe we'll put him on their show and see how he likes it. But my, I would like to see, who would I like to see? I would like to see Keith and Wes.
Keith and Wes. Yeah, they would have been, Keith and Wes, I think that while they definitely had their critics on Survivor, I think they would have been a very fun Amazing Race team. I think they would have been a beloved Amazing Race team.
I agree, and I really would have liked to see. I would have liked to see them eat 50 chicken nuggets.
That would have been good. I would have liked to have seen Brooke and Robbie on Survivor. I think that they would have provided some good hijinks.
Brooke and Robbie would have been great on Survivor. Shelley and Niecy would have been great on Survivor.
It would have been good too. This is
swap Shelley and Niecy for Muffin and Baylor.
Muffin and Baylor, I think, would have not been great on The Amazing Race.
You shut your mouth, homie G.
Yeah. This is from Manmore17 wants to know, what would you have changed from the final leg? We covered that a little bit, right?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Is there anything that you would say that you, what was the thing you liked the most about the final leg?
I liked the setting with the shipping containers. And I liked that it was a really mentally challenging thing. I would have liked to have a little bit more scenery or something that actually, you know, tied to the area, because it is a travel show in the end.
That's fair. I'm trying to think of anything else just as a wrap up from the season, Jess. Is there anything else that we should take away from Amazing Race 25 before we close the book?
Well, I think maybe I should just not be such a pessimist when it comes to bad Amazing Race seasons, because after season 24, I was pretty sure that if they didn't pull out something awesome, then the show was going to be canceled. And I was almost like coming into this, I was a little bit worried, and it turns out you can always save the show. Like, they came back from the Family Edition. They came back from season 24. Maybe I should be a little more optimistic that A, next season's not going to suck, and B, even if it does suck, we can still come back from it.
I want to know a question from Zachary Zarnett Klein wants to know, if the cyclists had gotten a non-elimination, would they have won the race? Had the non-elimination leg been at final five instead of back-to-back in at final four, would we be talking about Kim and Allie as winners of the Amazing Race? Would it have still been a woman-woman team, but a different one?
I think without a doubt.
So should they be the most pit? Who should be the who should have their knickers the most in a twist?
I don't think Kim and Allie should be pissed off, but I think they had one unlucky break. And I think if that had gone differently, we would be talking about them right now.
They should have knickers in a twist. Okay, let's do a couple more from Mike Bloom. That he wants to say, if Adam and Bethany are brought back for an all-star season, do you think that they'd be able to go far once again, or will they go the route of Margie and Luke? Why is Mike Bloom picking on Margie and Luke?
I don't know, man. That's unfair. It's not unfair, because Margie and Luke did do very well, and then they did less well, but I think it's hard to say. The great thing about bringing people back for all-star seasons is you're never going to have... There's so much luck involved that you're never going to be able to say with authority, this team's going to go all the way and this team's not going to go all the way.
Yeah. So we'll see.
So I think they have a great shot at it. I don't think they're going to implode.
Okay. Jess, what a season. What a season this has been of The Amazing Race.
It's been a good run.
Yes. One more question. Here's from Scott Grimes. Robin Jess, who did The Amazing Race need for the future of the show to win more? The sweetheart surfers, the competitive dentists, the villain wrestlers, or the ultra-enthused scientists?
I don't know. I don't think that one team winning is going to ruin the season for me. Like, any of these teams winning is not.
But what would have helped the franchise the most?
I think Adam and Bethany winning would have been the biggest win for the show.
I think so.
Just because that's such a great story, and you would have a whole new group of people that would be diehard fans, and they'd come back next season.
Yeah. Anna Jose says, which edit fooled you more this season? Amazing Race or Survivor? What threw you off the most with the winner's edit?
Are we talking about the winner's edit again?
Yes. Yes. It's been the story of the fall. All the winner's edit people have taken a big black eye this fall.
Yeah, winner's edit. I think you can sometimes put some stock in the Amazing Race edit because teams that are shown doing certain things are almost never the teams that end up winning. Like a team that constantly talks about how much they're winning is probably not going to win the final leg. And we saw that play out. And I even said that very early on. Jim and Misty are too obsessed with winning to actually win it. And a team that is shown saying mean or negative things, I think one time that team has ended up winning. So I think you can put some stock in that sort of edit. But I don't have any complaints about the Survivor edit. I thought it seemed fair. What the outcome was really matched what we saw unfold.
Okay, one last question. Steven614 wants to know, Jess, are you still angry with Mike Bloom for disparaging Margie and Luke?
Well, let's flash back to 3 seconds ago when we said that, and I can't stay mad at Mike Bloom for longer than 2 seconds, so of course I've forgiven him already.
Okay, we'll see. I don't know if I'm buying it.
Oh, now the feud's going to be me and Mike Bloom. Great. Now he's not going to want to talk to me.
Steven614 still wants to know, what is your problem with Mike Bloom?
I love Mike Bloom. Come on, man.
Ding, marry, kill from Steven614. Adam and Bethany and Mike Bloom.
Well, I marry Mike Bloom, of course.
So you... Oh, this is going to be a very tense interview.
And I did Bethany and I kill Adam. So there you go.
This is going to be a very tense interview now with Jess and Adam and Bethany on Monday. Boy, Steven614 is really stirring the pot tonight.
Steven614, I'm coming for you. You want to talk about feuds, buddy? Got one.
Okay. All right, Jess. We've got one more Amazing Race show to do, and that's all of our exit interviews with the final four teams. Should be a very fun exit interview. I think all these teams are, we're gonna have some live wires on Monday.
This is gonna be great.
Yeah.
This is gonna be a really good time, provided they're all still speaking to us by Monday.
Provided, yes. Jess, do you have a hashtag for this finale Amazing Race talk?
Finale hashtag. I'm going to say window licker.
Window licker. For Robbie yes. is licking the windows. And boy, especially, have we had an Amazing Race team break up from when they did the race until they do exit press?
Oh, yeah. A couple of times.
Okay. Well, no, I don't know since I've done it.
Yeah, not since you've done it, I don't think. But I've known a couple of them, or like we've shown up at TarCon and they've been at opposite ends of the room, and someone will ask, "Oh, I see your boyfriend's here." It's not my boyfriend.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's happened.
All right, so we'll see how that's going to go. That'll be very fun on Monday, and of course, for Happy Holidays, the big holiday special. I am going to be working very hard over the weekend to bring you guys that one, and that's going to be if everything goes as according. I think you guys are going to be very happy with it. Also,
it's from what I hear, it's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be a good rundown, I think. I think so. I think maybe this could be the best one yet. So I'm very excited about that. Also, my new audiobook with Josh Wigler, chapter one of The Evolution of Strategy, :30 Seasons of Survivor. The entire Borneo chapter is available for download. How about that, Jess?
Wow, the RCJW rules.
It's all there. You can check that out on robhasawebsite.com by going to robhasawebsite.com/store. So Jess, so much going on, of course, last minute holiday shopping, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. What else am I forgetting?
Are you forgetting something?
Am I forgetting
something?
I just feel like I'm forgetting something. Anyway, Jess, this is the last time that you and I are going to be talking directly. I just want to thank you again for another outstanding season of service to Rob as a podcast. You are the authority, as far as I'm concerned, of all things Amazing Race.
You know, of all the things in the world I thought I was going to be the leading expert on, this was not the one I would have suspected, but I will happily accept it. And it is always a pleasure working for you.
I'm sure there are many other things that you are an authority on, but this is the one that you are the most well known for being the authority on.
Yeah, well, and let's hope I don't have the chance to prove myself as an authority on something else after next season.
Yeah. Oh, I hope that you come around on the blind date idea. Look, we can't change it. It's already been filmed. All we can do is embrace it.
Yep. Oh, Mike Bloom, my nemesis, has asked, what am I writing about in my blog?
Yes.
And I don't know. I feel like it's going to be tough to top last week's, because last week's was a lot of fun to write when I wrote about all the different conspiracy theories and why they're a bunch of bunk. So I have not gotten to where I'm going to be, how I'm going to wrap up the season, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. It's hopefully going to go up tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So that's going to be very, very fun. Thanks for all of your tweets and comments throughout the season. Thanks for sticking with us all season long on the live Amazing Race wrap up. This is the first season that we did it this way, where we did the live show right after the episode. This is our biggest audience of the season watching us live. So thanks so much to all of our new viewers who are joining us, and hope you guys will join us this spring when we get to the Amazing Race 26 blind date edition.
Yep. And I mean, you can look forward to, I'm probably going to start a whole bunch of new feuds, so you have that to look forward to.
Yes. Well, that's going to be very fun. I'm a little excited about the blind date edition.
Okay, it's a fun experiment. It could be all right.
I think it's going to be fun, because I think you're going to get you're going to have 6 teams that are really should be on the Amazing Race. And then you're going to get like a bunch of teams that are going to be like really fighting with each other and providing a lot of the drama.
Yeah, I hope at least one of those teams ends up not fighting and like falling in love and having Amazing Race babies, because that would be kind of amazing.
Like, we're going to get at least like one or two spectacular flameouts.
A lot of screaming.
Yeah, a lot of screaming. So I think it's going to be, I think that there is potentially some upside here.
Yeah, I won't dismiss it out of hand. We'll wait and see.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. There's a ton of Survivor podcasts out there for you guys if you missed any of that as well, between the know-it-alls, between the exit interviews, between the wrap-up that I did with Josh Wigler for all of San Juan del Sur. So tons of stuff to pick on as we go through a little bit of a dry spell here on the podcasting with all of the shows over the next couple of weeks. Then we're going to come back strong in January. I believe that Celebrity Apprentice kicks off right around the corner, Jess.
Wow, that's happening again already.
Yes. Why? Are you down on the Celebrity Apprentice podcast? Because I do that with Mike Bloom.
I love Celebrity Apprentice.
Just not Mike Bloom.
You know, I think I'm going to have an easier time getting him to start talking to us again than I would have with like Whitney. So
all right.
This is okay.
All right. There you go. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks, Scott St. Pierre. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. Bye.
All right. Bye.
One race to rule.